Before I preach, I forgot one thing during the announcements. As always, Delta Bill Market provides meals for those in need for Christmas. And so if you know someone, please give them this to me, Deacon Taylor, or one of the other deacons. We'll need it that next Sunday. And as always, it's a full meal. It's a wonderful meal. And we thank them for what they do each and every year. Don't be ashamed, you know, just turn your name in and they'll provide. I want to tell you that text, the time will come. The time will come. Let us pray. Almighty eternal God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this worship experience. We thank you for the prayers. We thank you for the testimonies. We thank you for all we've heard and all we've seen, but now comes the preaching moment. Oh, Lord, I ask you to use me as only you can. For I'm not worthy of us to confess of my sinfulness, but I thank you for the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And even though the blood has washed me, there are still destructive things in my being. So I ask you, oh Lord, whatever may heed this sermon, remove it no matter how painful it might be to me. Give me that clarity of sight, mind, and speech, because people need to hear this word. People need to understand this word. There's so much in this word. And then, oh Lord, as my days continue to roll on, I just ask you, oh Lord, with the pain, the weakness, to give me the strength. And because you've done it before, I know you can do it again. The time will come. A difficult text. Text is hard to understand. In fact, that's why, you know, we use that contemporary English Bible, because we want you to be able to have some understanding for yourself, because, you know, the Bible is written in Greek and Hebrew, and none of us, including Pastor, read that. And language changes, so we just want to be contemporary. But today marks the beginning of the Christian year. Yes, the church has a different calendar from the rest of the world. Different because we celebrate for different reasons. It's just that we as Christians have allowed the world to hijack most of what we celebrate. We have let the world hijack the gift in the manger and replace it with Santa Claus and reindeer. We've let the world hijack the empty tomb and replace it with bunny rabbits, eggs, and pets. And what's so troubling about the gift in the manger is that we have the season of Advent to prepare for the coming of that gift. Prepare to celebrate the coming of Jesus and also preparation for the second coming. It seems, however, that the world is planning even more. For the decorations start showing up in the stores in October. Friday was a mad day called Black Friday. Many more are shopping today in the world will ship in high gear on tomorrow with Cyber Monday. Or I'll preach about the preparation. We will light the Advent candle, read scripture, and pray. But when it comes to true preparation, both for the first and second coming, retailers will win with the first, but even though we cry broke and rob God every Sunday, the projections are for record sales this year, record sales that will lead to all kind of debt. Well, there's just not credit card debt anymore. We got payday loan and car title loans that feed the addiction to stuff that will have no meaning 24 hours after Christmas Day is over. And as for the second coming, in the Bible study, we're looking at 1 Thessalonians, a book written to a church undergoing real persecution, not the fake persecution we hear some Christians in this land talking about. And before anybody gets upset, where you going, Pastor? Christians are being persecuted in other parts of the world. They're now allowed to gather to worship. They're living in constant fear. Many have been killed. But people doing things that are against our religious belief, that's not persecution. See, because you're licensed by state or local government to engage business in business or provide services based on that license, and people pay you for it, like baking a cake or providing flowers for a wedding or somebody that we disagree with on that lifestyle, that is not persecution. See, I feel a whole lot of prescriptions for white people. The same holds true for adultery. Y'all be quiet. Maybe a few thieves, maybe even one or two murders. All those things are against my belief, but because a license was given me by the Commonwealth that requires me to provide the finest in pharmaceutical care to anybody, I'm not being persecuted when I fill that prescription. Amen. Like preach on Pastor Edmo. See, as Christians, we got to stop complaining about things that are not happening, but sometimes we speak those very things into existence. But back to the Thessalonian church, they were being persecuted while anticipating the return of Jesus. And because Jesus has not returned, they didn't say that Jesus was not returning. They contacted Paul and wanted to know what had happened to those who had already died and what might happen to those who died before Jesus would return. And that's why the book was written. And fast forward 2,000 years. Today, most people, even people up in God's house, they ain't concerned about his return. Many Christians don't even live like we are prepared for his return. See, are we interested in checking the right boxes on a list that we have created so that we can gain admission into the kingdom? When we should be living a life like the prayer we pray so often to bring the kingdom of God right here on earth. Jesus taught more about living right on this side than he did about going to glory. For I believe that if you live a life that brings a little bit of heaven right here on earth, a place has already been prepared for you in glory. Prepare for the second coming. Don't let 2,000 years of waiting give you a false sense of security, for only God knows. How many times you heard the prediction that the world is coming to an end? Happened time and time again. You know, it was first recorded in 70 AD. And there have been at least 145 predictions since then, not counting country preachers like me whose words are never heard. And what gets to me is the number of people who should know the Bible and know this passage, and they still claim they know the Bible. Some of them were popes, those are leaders in the Catholic Church. Oh, Martin Luther, he, you know, led the Protestant Reformation and predicted that Jesus would come in 1600. Christopher Columbus even got into the Acts. Hey, he had 2 dates. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, predicted the day. Jerry Falwell and even Louis Farquhar, they both tried it. How many of y'all old school remember Herbert W. Armstrong with the world tomorrow, you know? He predicted 4 times that the world would end. I guess I must have been the only one looking at television when I was growing up. Herbert W. Armstrong, he used to come on every Sunday night. The world tomorrow, everybody be listening. Pat Robinson and the Jehovah Witnesses have predicted it twice. And communion given Jim Jones even made a prediction, you know. There are future predictions, one for the year 2280. But pay no attention to any of those predictions, for the text says nobody knows when the day or the hour will come. See, don't fall for nobody talking about they got special knowledge. Don't fall for those titles you see people giving themselves. For if they are preaching the word, if they know the word, or they know that, you know, if every time, you know, if they just take the time every now and then to have a conversation with God instead of a conversation with self, trying to impress other people, instead of making people more cynical, because the day of prediction will not come. Preachers and religious leaders like myself, you know, should be preparing and encouraging others. Prepare like I'm doing this morning. For no man or woman knows. The angel don't know. Listen carefully to what Jesus said. Even though he was God in human flesh, the human part of Jesus kept him from knowing. But not even the Son, only the Father knows. So any angel, any human, I don't care how holy anybody claims to be, they don't know the hour. Jesus knows, using the story we know so well. Remember the story, Noah. Please don't miss what Jesus is doing. See, the Bible is full of stories. Stories about life, stories that we all can learn from. If you've never done it, next year, read the Bible in its entirety. You won't get a story every day, but the stories I've read have helped my life, and more than one of those stories will help you in this journey called life. But Jesus, as always, makes it real plain. He never complicates it. He said when he returns, it will be like the time of Noah. Ain't going to be so much about the sins of others. It's amazing how we get caught up on other sinners when we've all sinned, we've all fallen short. But Jesus said in the day before the floods, and it will be the same when Jesus comes, people will be eaten and drinking. Oh, at their version of Red Lobster or Golden Corral. Maybe at one of the clubs. They still got places like the Alley or Our World Club that's still over in Hampton Road. Murray or Gilly in Murray. See, things were busy at the clerk's office. Couples lining up the altar to say I do. Things were just going fine. No worries, no care. People were making plans for that trip, making plans for retirement. You know, but even though I say on every Sunday at the conclusion of worship, Jesus is coming back, how many of you would be ready if Jesus showed up right now? See, everything was fine until the day that Noah entered the ark. Entered the ark where there was no water around. Enter the ark where rain seldom fell. See, it made no sense that Noah would even build an ark. And there might be somebody who doesn't even believe that it's a story, that it was made up. However, over 50 civilizations have a story of a great flood. She sounds like enough evidence to me. However, most were not ready. I know we don't sing that song anymore. Sign me up for the Christian Jubilee. However, all of us should want to be ready when Jesus comes. And the sad thing is, they saw the ark. They saw Noah going into the ark with his family and a bunch of animals. But they didn't know what was happening. They were not warned. However, we have been warned. Don't let that go off your head. See, they didn't know what was happening until the flood came and swept them away. Now think about this for a moment. Science says that things on this earth will win. The earth will start slowing down as it rotates around the sun. And one day it's going to fall out the orbit and everything necessary for life will cease. Well, the Bible says the same thing, that the sun and the moon and the stars will fall. All this will happen, and Jesus is coming back to remove the living from a dying place. But because we are not prepared, some are going to miss God this time, just like they missed God the first time when he shows up again. The text lets us know the return of Jesus will be similar. People eating and drinking. People getting married. People making all kind of plans for tomorrow when tomorrow ain't happening. Making plans and preparing. Preparing by living a life like Jesus. And in order to do that, you have to read the gospel. The day will be similar, but it is described differently. But Jesus doesn't say certain Jews. Yes, Jesus was a Jew. He didn't say certain Jews would be picked up. Jesus didn't even say that Christians would be picked up. But Jesus did not come to establish a religion. Jesus came to establish a way of life. A way of life that is entirely different from what too many of us as Christians live. Listen carefully to what Jesus said. At that time, there will be two men in the field. One will be taken and the other down. And because men and women are equal in God's sight, a lot of men gonna be in trouble when Jesus comes. Talking about women can't preach, women can't be speakers. And some women are going to be in trouble for putting other women down when they try to step up. Or let me keep on moving. Jesus says that that time two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other will be left. What's Jesus talking about? Why does he only mention four people? Or only two people are going with Jesus when he comes back? No. Jesus is letting us know that when he judges, there will only be two types of people. Ain't no in between when it comes to who Jesus is going to come to get. See, Jesus could be saying, I don't know what it is, that you're either wise or you're foolish. And if you're foolish, you've done some foolish things. Don't let foolish things keep you from being left. Or Jesus could be saying, there are faithful and evil people. Well, if you are evil and God is good, don't you think that Jesus is going to take you? And don't let that comparison give you a little comfort, because if you are not faithful in all that you do for God, you will probably leave that behind also. But if you have not been faithful, you might have done some evil things. Or Jesus could expand that a little more and say, good and faithful or evil. Well, I got to tell the truth and shame the devil this morning. There are some people who have never been introduced to Jesus. Never introduced for all type of reasons. And they are good. They live a life that models Jesus more than some Christians. They bring more heaven on earth without ever hearing or reading the Lord's Prayer than those who recite it on a regular basis. See, stop reciting that prayer. Pray that prayer, and maybe a little bit of heaven will come right here on earth. Maybe you will be taken by Jesus, but don't be among the number who say, Lord, Lord, and end up being left behind. Jesus makes it very clear. Stay alert. Or as the young folks say now, stay woke. You don't know what day the Lord is coming. I didn't say it. Jesus said. Therefore, be prepared. Because the human one, I'm talking about Jesus, he's coming back. Coming back at a time that you don't know. See, for too long as Christians, we just gone through the motions. Check the boxes. Well, it's time to get our hearts right. But Jesus will be checking our hearts and not the boxes. Having that box checked that you came to church is not enough. You need to come with praises in your voices and thanksgiving in your heart. It's not checking the box that say you came, but that you came cheerfully and liberally. It's not about checking the box that say I acted holy. It was what your holiness was all about. Did your holiness show some mercy? Did your holiness show some love? Did your holiness make a difference in somebody's life? And New Hope Fellowship, that is something that as a church we're going to need to address. For if we closed up tomorrow, will anybody miss us? Will anybody say, those folks made a difference in this community? And if the answer is no, we are not preparing. We're being like so many other churches. We are just playing church, setting ourselves to be left behind. The word is prepare. Prepare every morning and evening by having a conversation with God. Prepare by reading and studying the word. Prepare by sharing the good news. For if you don't want to be left behind, you shouldn't want anybody else to be left behind either. For Jesus came the first time. The first time he came and taught. The first time he suffered and died for your sins and my sins so that none of us would be left alive. So stop going through the motion. Prepare and start living like you living in the kingdom right now so that none of us, I said none of us will be left behind because the time is it? The time for Jesus is coming. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour, but Jesus, I said Jesus, my rolling servant, the wheel and the work of the wheel, my way maker, my bridge over troubled water, my all in all, Jesus, I said Jesus. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back to get us all. Amen. Amen. And amen.